Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition.
I think it's Monday.
I think we're on a normal week, finally. Sunday at noon for the Clayton Tune Show. Name that tune. Edition. I need Tausch's help with something. Well, I need Tausch's help with a lot of things, including getting my connection ready this morning. Apparently, stuck in an endless loop. Edition.
Yeah.
And how concerned are you? Because apparently, Vegas, not as concerned. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And of course, everything you need. On the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable, complete with royalty-free music, ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, I did not get to catch his opening statement on Green Bay game night. So I was too busy being stunned by the 307 rushing yards Jeff Hafley's crew gave up. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's I'm doing great. Good weekend. Having a fun weekend. Got a couple fun days planned here. And so I will say this. My opening statement on Saturday night was this. I never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
I didn't think we'd lose to Baltimore with a backup quarterback. I anticipated Malik Willis playing well. I didn't anticipate him playing that well. And I actually feel kind of bad that the storyline and everything all that night should have been a glazing of Malik. And instead, You can still glaze him. But it was this reminded me of some of the Joe Barry defenses. That's what it reminded me of. And you can say what you want about it. I never thought that we would see what we saw Saturday night up at Lambeau. And Derrick Henry's a heck of a player, but
Hall of Famer.
That alone, I was bummed. But about midway through the postgame show, I was already kind of like, "How the hell with it? Let's just get on to Chicago." And it might be Philly. I would doubt it. Watching Detroit play, but I was just talking to one of the Academy members before I jumped on here, and the NFL. You don't know Detroit could go guns blazing next week, score a bunch of points and beat Chicago.
Yeah.
We don't know. I can assure you, at least I hope, that the Green Bay Packers aren't going to give up 40 points to the Minnesota Vikings with Brosner or whatever, Pierce Brosnan, whoever's quarterbacking him.
Pierce Brosnan.
So that part and what I'm most disappointed about
disappointment.
This team had a legitimate shot of still winning the North and getting a 2 or a 3 seed. You're going to have and the NFL is such a fickle season. We have not had a clunker of clunkers where we got run out the gym. Every year we have one or two. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any. Every loss we had was Cleveland, a bad pick, a bad decision. Carolina, whatever you want to say. We didn't play great, but it wasn't like somebody came in and trucked us. Every game, we wait until there. And I'm just curious, and now that I'm been in the hockey world for a long time, let me throw this at you and you tell me what you think. In the hockey world, if you have a stud goalie and then you bring in your backup to play, sometimes the intensity level of your team drops. Hmm. Now Malik Willis is no slouch. He is a backup, and he's a good player. He's not Jordan Love, and I don't want to get – we can get into the conversation that I heard one of your brethren ask yesterday, which I think is absurd. He basically might as well just be one of our callers, one of our fans calling in, and I had to snuff Homer out. I told Homer, I ain't doing this. You go with Ellerson and Wilde on the postgame. If you want to have that discussion, I ain't part of it. But there's a little drop when sometimes you – if you end up deciding to pitch somebody or you put a backup goalie in, everybody else kind of just looks, the coaches are sending a message. Jordan Love, now I know he didn't clear protocol. There's different people have different opinions on it. I'm not going to go there either. But there is
sometimes. A lot of places you're not going this morning.
there's sometimes in this whole deal where you get a message, even if it's a bit subliminal. And it lingers. And the Packers started off as bad as I've seen them. That was bad. And they never could recover. And the damn shame of it is, they would be in a great position to sew up and win a division. And if they do that, I'm still delusional enough to think they can go down to Chicago and beat them. Mm-hmm, so is Vegas. Mm-hmm. So is a lot of people. But if they could have landed in that 2 or 3 slot, this whole thing is why 7 slot, I don't think the path is going to get there.
No.
2 or 3, it would have been a much more manageable.
Much better chance. Mm-hmm.
And I know, wrapping up here, and I know that people are going to look at this and say, well, if they play against Baltimore, they ain't beating anybody. 100% agree. You give up 307 yards, and this part, Jason, you remember these teams. This reminded me when Wisconsin would play Toledo or Akron. And it would be like, we are going to pummel you into submission. Uh-huh. We're going to have 300-plus. You're going to have 50. And we're going to maul you into submission. This game on Saturday was Wisconsin in the 90s, early 2000s versus the MAC, where Barry Alvarez would get up in front of us and say, we don't need to do anything but just pummel him into submission. That's it. And that's what Baltimore did, and we let that happen. And unfortunately, I think it took a chance where this team, while I'm still not going to write them off, you had an opportunity to really make this weekend interesting, and you didn't. And that's really disappointing.
All right. There's a lot to unpack there.
What do you think of the goalie? What do you think of my goalie in?
So
I know you're not a hockey guy.
Now I'm just offended. I got my start.
Wow.
I got my start covering Jeff Sauer's University of Wisconsin men's hockey teams. I covered them so long ago, I didn't have to specify men's hockey because we didn't have women's hockey yet. And I know way more about hockey than you think I know. And I would drop a John Michelizzi reference on you. There was a time when I was covering the Badgers that Dwayne Dirksen, one of the most decorated goalies in Wisconsin history,
Dirksy. They called him Dirksy, I think.
No, they didn't. They called him Duke. But he got he got cut by a blade on a skate, not like somebody coming in there with a switchblade, and missed like the WCHA playoffs. And John McAlizzi was his backup. And I have never seen. I believe it was Brian Rafalski who played in the NHL for a long time.
Yeah, they called him Raffy.
No, they didn't call him that either. I have never seen a team work their tails off defensively more than them. It was incredible. Like, they were, you know, diving to put their body in front of every shot possible because John McAlizzi, while a fine backup, was not the winningest goaltender in Wisconsin hockey history.
Okay.
So sometimes it goes the other way.
You're saying it's the opposite.
No. What I'm saying is that it can go both ways with a backup.
Sure.
Just like it did.
Certainly.
So I actually thought your analogy was great, and if you'd just let me get to say that, I would appreciate it, Dookie.
Sure.
Because it can go both ways. And I thought, look, first of all, you nailed it on the story of the night, if they could just... And look, let's be honest here. It was a Hall of Fame running back who was really pissed off about how he was handled the previous week against New England.
Yep.
So he went out there, and he and his offensive lineman, which, by the way, they don't have a lot of great things going for them, Baltimore, the way their season has gone. Their offensive line is pretty damn good. They got some really good players.
I want their center. I want their center to sign with they're not going to let him out of there, but he's a really good player. Iowa guy, I think.
So my point is that this wasn't just some Joe Schmo who came in and put up 216. But to your point, another great analogy, because I know you appreciate a glazing or two from time to time.
I do. Glaze me up.
The analogy to Wisconsin football, like Melvin Gordon for 430, whatever it was, they ran the ball 53 times.
Yeah.
53 times.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't see that in the NFL.
40 minutes to 20 in top.
They ran the ball Jason, more times than the Packers snapped the ball.
Oh, easily, by a lot. Yeah, and don't give me this, we score so fast, we're so explosive. Yeah, it happened, for sure. I'm not going to argue with that. But I thought Jeff Hafley at least tried. He should have done it earlier. He went five down. And I know, Jason, you have issues sometimes with the three and four down and, you know, spacing. And
what is with you today?
I'm in a good mood. Just Enagbare. But they ended up putting out the – and that's what teams – and this is part of what made me think of the Akrons. They would just load up in bare fronts and say, do something else. Like, that's what defenses – when you don't have anything left to stop a run game, you go five down and you cover up the center and both guards – and you just say, do something else. Well, they decided to start tossing the ball outside. And if I'm being honest, we didn't have a ton of willing tacklers on the perimeter. Valentine, blech, he's got to get better at tackling. Evan Williams wasn't as good. I think you could tell he was coming back from an injury. He was uncharacteristically not the same big-time player that he is. So it just was one of those perfect storms where – I think we kind of thought we didn't know where Baltimore's motivation was going to be. We should have found out pretty early.
Yeah. It was now they're really playing for good. A chip.
And now they get an opportunity. It was the tale of two cities. We should have been, and I don't know which cities are in Dickens' deal, but we should have been fighting and scrapping, realizing San Fran was going to be tough to beat for the Bears, and we could set up a showdown-type operation this weekend. And instead, Baltimore, where all hope is lost, they got to go to Lambeau on a Saturday night without their MVP. Mm-hmm. And then they need Cleveland to beat Aaron Blank and Rodgers. That seems to me like it'd be like, there's no blanking way. But instead, they just put the pedal down and say, we're going to do it. And Green Bay's like, whatever. And that's absurd to me. And that is what happened. It is.
It is what happened. Baltimore, by the way, Charm City. I know we had a conversation a while back about how many queen cities there are. Charm City, Baltimore. A Tale of Two Cities.
How many people,
Title Town.
How many people would say that Baltimore's Charm City?
I don't know. I don't know if it's facetious. Okay. Having been to Baltimore a bunch, underrated. Obviously not the sections that are in the wire, but other areas, very nice. I enjoyed my trips there. So here's the deal.
It's Crab
Cake City.
Where
it's rated.
I'm just telling you what it's called, bro.
No, I understand. I went to a Orioles game. That area is nice, and I'm sure they got nice stuff.
Inner Harbor, beautiful.
Every time we went to Baltimore, it usually was not great. We got our tails kicked, so I'm not a big fan.
With Jerry Falwell in the press box, you guys got beat like 48-3. That was not good. Aaron Rodgers.
That was
a long night.
No, it's not great.
Speaking of long nights, there's a lot we want to cover from Saturday, and then look ahead. And look, Matt LaFleur is in a bit of a pickle because there have been years where he rested guys, and then they played poorly in the playoffs. They have lost three in a row. Their quarterback has yet to officially clear the concussion protocol. But I think they have a bigger issue than that. And I need your guidance.
Yes.
That's what I'm working on. I love it when you're in a good mood, man. I'm just going to ride the wave. Just like I finally got to see it. I don't know why I had missed it so frequently.
Landman?
No.
You watch a little Landman?
No, I did not. I'm catching up on.
That'll put you in a good mood.
I've watched so many Law & Order episodes that I've now switched to another Dick Wolf creation, FBI, which used to be, I think it's still on CBS. But the problem is I haven't seen them all, so now when I write, I'm watching the show instead of writing. So I got to figure something out. Landman. No, what I saw was the full-length 60-second commercial that our gal Jean Adela and Santa did together. Let me make a call. That one? I finally saw it in its entirety. It was like I had seen like a trailer, and now I saw the extended cut. And no matter how much of that commercial you hear or see, you know that Gina Della, Santa, but not as elves who are overmatched to make such quality products, are on
exactly.
the case.
Yep. And ensure your home remains comfortable. We had a big storm here last night. Make sure that you get past that brutal post-holiday winter. And Santa's magical, did it again. But his elves, they aren't qualified to build pellet windows and doors. Pella's elves are, though. They install year-round and will finish installation in as little as a day. And right now, you got a couple days left. Pay zero interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hurry up. This deal ends December 31st. So schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
I don't know if you're familiar with this, but when a team loses... The organization does not post the post-game locker room speech. They only post it after their team wins. Something very interesting happened in the Packers locker room after the game. And so before we get to your calls, which I do want to do because I really want to get Packers fans' temperature now, because there were some big-time Debbie Downer, we're cooked, mail it in, fire LaFleur, fire Goody.
Jason, I'm going to tell you this. Shug, who is he's always our first caller. He's got carte blanche because he's been doing it for years. He is the most avid, optimistic Packer fan. We lost Shug. Shug was saying we'd go 8 in a row and going to go win it all. This was way back. And now we've lost. What is this, 4 in a row we've lost or 3?
3.
Probably going to be 4. 3 in a row. And Shug, we'll see. What are you shaking your head about? You think this team is going to be... we'll talk about that later. Anyway, Shug.
Great tease.
Not overly optimistic.
I'm sorry to hear...
Shug's always optimistic.
Sugar Shane?
Sugar-free.
Sugar-free. Sugar Shane Mosley, boxer. So I do want to get fans' reaction. 844-770-3776 if you want to get in the queue. But I need your help on this. How often do players call out other players? I'll explain next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The tape is the tape. There is no hiding from the tape. So what we put out there, it is what it is, and you better acknowledge it, own it, accept it, and learn from it.
The tape is the tape. And it was ugly. More importantly, it was problematic from an effort perspective. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless talk and text line. Liz is more. All right. So after the game, Lucas Van Ness, which
had a good game. But yeah. LVN played well.
And he played quite a few more snaps than Rashawn Gary did, but we'll get into that in a second as well. And I will mention it here, but I did not mention it in my question to Matt LaFleur, because I appreciate someone who gave actual information, and I don't want there to be a chill effect like there was on Steno with some of the things he said in press conferences. So Lucas Van Ness told us after the game that Kingsley and Igbare, JJ the Jet Plane as he's known,
Steiner,
spoke to the team afterward. And basically called guys out for not playing their hardest. I'm going to read the quote from LVN. Somebody, and this is great because I think Wes Hodquist just asked him about Enigbare. Because look, for as poorly as they played, I thought Enigbare had some good moments, and I thought Lucas Van Ness played one of his best games. I understand they didn't sack
LVN
the quarterback.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah. So somebody asked him, I think it was Wes, about Enigbare. And here is part of his answer. Every time you step on the field, you know 5-5 is going to give it his all. He shared a little bit of that sentiment after the game, that you got to leave it all on the field. He felt like some people didn't. At this point in the season, you have to be willing to put your body on the line, lay everything on the line, because we're ultimately trying to get to that end game, the Super Bowl. And we're going to have to do that. And then the follow-up question was, he spoke to the locker room, and LVN said yes. After the game, yes. So my question for you, Tausch, so I asked LaFleur about that. Now, I don't know if Jesse has that clip, but my question for you first is, that is not good. What?
No. No, Jesse just shook his head like, absolutely not.
I do not have that clip.
He is,
no.
All right, I believe he's mail. I don't think he's mailing it in. I think Jesse's doing a nice job.
I believe he's. Did you just JJ Enigbare him and then pull it back?
I've decided I don't want to watch all these press conferences anymore. Jason can tell us if he asks a good question. I don't want to sit through them all and do all that. All
right, well, hey, Jesse, if you're going to change that policy, I need you to let me know.
Carmen.
Here we are.
Carmen San Diego. Jason, here's what I will tell you. It is really difficult for a player to call out, especially, I don't know who he called out. I have ideas, but I'm not going to speculate, at least not publicly.
I don't think he called anybody out by name either. I think he was trying to speak generally.
It's really difficult as a player in a locker room with guys that you know and are friends with and you work with, if you don't, to be brutally honest and blunt on your assessment. And you better, I'll say this, if you're going to do that, you best be doing everything in your power, because the last thing you can be doing is calling people out and then they could call you back out. So I think obviously Lucas Van Ness's comments on JJ didn't, when you know, when everybody was healthy, he was playing minimal amount of snaps. I think he made one of the most critical plays of the season in that Bear game. He has been, I think he gives a ton of effort. And I am not in the business of calling guys out for effort. You know, and we always have this discussion, Jason, about, you know, a team coming out flat. There's some games you're just not executing, and it's really difficult to gin up juice and to gin up that energy when you're not playing well. You know, and offensively, if you're not getting first downs and you can't stay on the field, which wasn't the case on Saturday, but you start pressing. And I think defensively, you get pummeled a little bit. Sometimes you start playing back on your heels a little bit more. And I feel like that's kind of how it played. So I'm not going to say guys weren't giving monstrous effort. I will say the tackling, which has been so good all year. Every broadcaster has brought up, oh, they don't miss tackles. And, well, that wasn't the case on Saturday. They did miss tackles. And I do think there were some guys that I don't know if they were as willing. It felt more preseason-ish, which, by the way, will be Sunday. Sunday's a preseason game, FYI. It felt like that on Saturday, and that can't happen when you're still in the mix for a division title. You have to, and I think this is where JJ is probably talking, Derrick Henry is a monster of a man, and he still runs like he still moves. You have to be willing to throw yourself in there, and unfortunately, I don't remember, was it Haddon? One of the guys got hurt. And I think it was on maybe a...
And he threw himself in there big time.
And I get it, man. It sucks. And they didn't even show the replay because it was, I guess, gruesome. And I'm fine with that. It takes what it takes. This is a brutal business. And if you got to be all in. And in the preseason, it's not. People kind of, okay. This was for a chance to still hang in there to win a division. And that's where I think a lot of people are disappointed, including, sounds like, JJ.
He was. And I will get that audio for you so you can hear how Matt LaFleur answered my question, since I'm adding that to my responsibilities on this program. I look forward to doing that. I'm happy to do it. I just needed to know I was doing it. So I will get on that right away after.
I'm not sure, Jesse. Did Jesse get that policy passed through before he decided?
I think Jesse. I think Jesse forgot that he's not in a management position, and he can't just decree that sort of stuff.
Oh, look at the eye roller! What's up, big eye roller?
Jesse, the floor is yours.
I have nothing to say.
Gel, did you stay awake? I had people texting about the Peacock and all the other stuff. Did you stay awake for the game?
Yes. Yeah. Night games, I have no problem.
It was an entertaining game.
Very
right?
entertaining game. We had a lot of fun. Yeah. I went in for the first time I ever went into the game with my brother-in-law, Chris. We had a wonderful time. Okay. It was a fantastic night. Fun, entertaining game. Wish the defense would have played better. A lot of points. And we were really hoping Malik Willis was going to have a Matt Flynn kind of night, and he was on track to do so until he had to leave the game.
Was anybody else shocked to see that stat that compared Malik Willis to Don Majkowski? 285 yards passing and 60 yards rushing. First time since the Magic Man. And I was literally thinking, like, the Magic Man? I didn't know he had those kind of wheels.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
All right, I'm at some point we're gonna get into the quarterback controversy.
There is
that's a little bit of a touchy subject for me because I don't want to criticize other people. I'm not comfortable doing that, but I will frame it this way. That was not an angle that I had thought of going into yesterday's press conference. Jesse, did you want me to get that clip too? I didn't ask that question.
I think Jesse's irritated, so I don't know if you want to keep poking him. You can.
I do.
Okay.
He got a text from the boss after he said that. It's awesome. I'm enjoying it.
I'm going to refrain from anything I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
I think that's a good thing
like
for me
it.
To do right now.
Joe.
Been asking for years for everybody to send over Jason's questions when he asks them at the press conference when we share all this stuff, and then no one does
all
it.
Right, I'll let you guys sit on
anyway.
The couch. Hey, why don't you guys all go sit
anything.
On the couch? Yeah, go sit on the couch. You guys can figure that out. I have to admit, 2-3 weeks ago after that Bear game, I'm thinking we're cashing everything, baby. At Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Everything.
I forgot about this.
We're literally in a position now.
This isn't good.
Must win.
Where we can lose it all. And I actually believe we're going to lose it all. Now, it's still fun. We had a lot of fun with this, you know, five months. But son of a biscuit. I mean, we're down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford Sportsbook in May and June. We got Jordan Love MVP at big numbers. And after the Bear game, he's in third place. They probably wasn't going to do it, but if didn't work, that ain't happening. All right, well, winning the division. Oh, the Lions filled their britches. Oh, but you just beat the Bears. Well, then we lose, we lose, we lose. That bet, ripped, gone. We ain't winning the division. 9.5 wins? Well, we're at 9 wins before December. That's a gimme. Ha! Not anymore. But you know what? We still had a great time at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Great time.
Great sports book, great food,
yep.
Table games, slots all over the place, and they have a great high-limit room experience that delivers premium table games tailored for discerning players with enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17, which gives you that much better odds, faster play, and authentic high-limit action that sets the Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. The good news is, if the Packers are able to win, it's only a 60-minute drive for Jesse to go cash our 9.5. Should have had more. We didn't. But it is 60 minutes right off of I-90 down in Rockford, Illinois. A great experience down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. What a roller coaster.
I'm not happy that you guys are on the precipice.
No, you kind of are. I can see it.
No, it's not that. You nailed it, and I had forgotten about it till you mentioned it. But, like, I thought we were – well, not me because I didn't put in. But I thought you were cashing that a month ago.
Yeah.
And now suddenly here we come down to a game where we don't know who's going to play. And it's a must-win for old T and Gel.
Clayton Tune's going to have to win us that big bet at the Hard Rock.
In Tune we trust.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, I think subliminally, I thought we'd lose to Denver. I said that back in April, May, whatever the schedule came out. Remember when I tried to say we should sell our tickets?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you said, oh, you could. And Jason, of course, oh, you can do that? Oh, I didn't know that was something that was doable.
That voice?
It's not a shot. It's Yogi Bear Jason. I don't, like, things you should know that you don't. That's my Jason voice. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. My Yogi Bear Wildy voice, which I think is fun. And I think I thought subliminally this could happen. And unfortunately, it has. Very irritating.
Yeah, irritating. Kind of like, oh, hey, boo-boo, let's go find a picnic basket. All right, I want to get to calls. We'll talk about the quarterback controversy and the effort problems later in the program. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Yeah, that's what was so baffling, I would say, is, you know, just sitting in there with the defensive staff today and just... that hasn't been a trend. That hasn't been something that has really happened throughout the course of the season. For it to show up in that game is really bothersome.
That is Matt LaFleur baffled by the Packers' run defense. Hall of Fame player. But still, baffling how bad it was.
Jason, when you asked Matt and everybody after the game, what do they think the reason for allowing that to happen?
Got to watch the film.
Just that Derrick Henry's... But didn't you talk to him yesterday after they watched the
film? I did. So that was... And I thought Bill Huber... You know, some of us are better at asking follow-up questions than others.
Sure.
But Matt LaFleur, I asked about the running game. I'll get that clip for you, Jesse, in a minute.
Oh boy. You're poking old bear. You're poking the jelly bear today, aren't you?
I am. And look how pouty he is. Like he's got
his chin out.
Hey, Jelly,
I just want to make sure you know I am not poking you. I'm trying to pull the stick back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new year coming soon.
Wait, are you starting New Year's resolutions ahead of time?
Maybe. Yeah, why not?
Listen, this is Tausch's last show of 2025.
That's true.
Good to know.
No more checking the tape.
Thank you.
Wait,
nope.
I was going to take Friday off, too. Year. So much for that. Here's my question.
That'll be Jan's second.
That's 2026.
Right? Friday.
Oh, that's true. We'll be underway already. Oh, yeah. Man, maybe I will.
Yeah.
I did ask him that, and he was what was baffling to him was how many missed alignments and missed assignments there were.
Huh.
Guys that were supposed to, if we want you to line up as a zero technique, head up on the center, we don't want you to line up as a shade. We want you to line up as a zero. And apparently people didn't do that. So, and Bill Huber, the follow-up was essentially paraphrased, how the hell is that happening in week 17?
Did we hear sloppy? I can't listen to another. It's sloppy at the
it
end
was
of
not,
the
No, it was not sloppy. But, it lends credence to, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the former player on this panel. If you're not all focused and completely invested, do you make mental lapses like that? Like lining up incorrectly? Does that happen?
No. Not at the end of seasons. And, you know,
I understand. So then why would that happen?
Well, so here's what I would say. I think after Micah got hurt, I do think they probably are trying to do more stuff. Like, I think when Micah was lined up on one edge or they moved him around. But you know what? They still moved him all over the place. Guys have to know their – coaches would always tell you, man, I can get any old Tom, Blank, or Harry to line up and just be aligned properly. Now, that doesn't mean they can make a play and get in the backfield. Just like it doesn't take anybody to just line up and, you know, take a snap. You have to do something with it. You can't have alignment. That comes down to focus and knowing your assignment. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't be out there. Period.
Although they have some limited options right now on who can be out there. And they have a $96 million player who played less than 50% of the snaps on Saturday night. We'll get to that coming up. Let's get to your calls
first.
He's
not a big snap count. He's not a big
I've heard
snap
that. Count. Not a high snap count guy. Just a high salary
that
guy?
That might be. If we get knocked out as a seventh seed again, I think that might be the quote for the year. For this team,
like relax.
That is one of.
And
I actually
run the table.
Think,
he's not a high
Jason,
snap
I think
count guy.
One of the fun things you could start compiling as the year goes is almost like nominating. This has a potential to be quote of the year, and you know if we sound it, put it on the sounder. It's at least in my mind. When I heard that, I chuckled and I thought that's absurd.
That is absurd.
That needs to be in the running. I don't know what the other quotes are. That is something as we're doing New Year's resolutions today, too. I want that to be part of it. I know Jesse doesn't farm up clips anymore. So whoever is going to do that, well, Jesse knows I'm joking. That needs to be, I think it's fun. And that quote, it's not fun. And unfortunately, it's been very true.
Let's get to the phones. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless talking text line. List is more. Let's begin in Chicago with Thomas in Chicago. Thomas, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I will say losing on Saturday night and having Sunday off is a real break from football than losing on Sunday and then talking to you guys. I will say that.
So that means you're in a better frame of mind then?
Get an extra day. No, I'm just more angry because more thoughts and dark thoughts have gone through my head.
Oh, really?
So it's worse.
Oh.
Okay, good to know.
Oh, boy.
All right, the floor is yours.
I'm the whole new voice, and I don't know about you, Jason, from like a writer's perspective. I think everyone has a different perspective of like the same monotone, same answers, not going into detail. But like, I think it's 50-50 on the players and on the coaching staff. Let's not begin with we lost the Browns, the Panthers, and tied with the Cowboys. And if I told a Packers fan that, they'd be like, oh, that's just Matt LaFleur putting down the competition. But then it's also about the players not being bought in because do I think there's a talent gap of just not having good enough players? Yes, because I think when we look at the Rams, their front lines are Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Kobe Turner, Byron Young, and then look at their defensive backs, it's full of studs. But I think with the whole effort level, I think it's 50-50. It's on the players, but it's also on the coaching staff to bring it out of players. You look at the great motivators and schemers of Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDonald. Those are the top teams we're trying to compete with. So with Jason, I think it's 50-50. I think it's both players and the coaches.
So, Thomas, I agree with you on that. And for being more ticked off with a Sunday without football, I thought that was a really good point. What I would say, and the question I would ask in response of you, Tausch, Goody Stan, is this one of those areas where, and they're the youngest team in the league for the third straight year, but they're an experienced young team. But I wonder if this is also maybe where some measure of immaturity and not having enough, like, truly warhorse-type veterans in the locker room is a problem with this theory. And I want to give credit to Brandon, who tweeted this to me, and I bookmarked his tweet because it's something that I do want to kind of explore both on the show. And if Goody ever talks to us again, because he has not talked this season, he's supposed to talk during the season, he has not done that. I would say this. It concerns me that maybe immaturity is the drawback to youth, and you don't have the same level of focus or professionalism. And I don't know if that's true or not. I just think it's something that is worth talking about and thinking about. Do you view that as part of this equation or not?
Yeah, so here's what I would say. The best teams that I was a part of, you had enough youthful ignorance that you don't know how big the moments are, and then you have enough veterans that get it, because as a young player, you just think this thing is going to keep on rolling. And then you start finding out the brutality of the business and how quick things change, and opportunities only come along so often, and how hard it is to get there. But there is something. I don't want us to be an old football team.
I understand that.
Do I want to have a couple of guys around that can still play? Because you can't. I am not of the belief you can just have old guys that are just like in the locker room as a coach.
Sure,
hire them as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are guys that can still contribute and really help with the maturity of the team, Rob Davis is a great example for me. He was basically. He was the long snapper forever. But I'm telling you, he had a pulse on the team, and he would go and have those conversations, kind of like what JJ was talking about.
Yeah.
He'd have those conversations, and everybody respected everything he had to say. And I don't know who that guy is, if there is that guy, but trust me, we had battles between offensive line and wide receivers. We've talked about that one team meeting way back in 2009. There are always these little issues that you have to address and figure out, and maybe JJ's speech the other night will open up some of those communication lines and figure it out, because The last thing you want to have, so I don't want to go old. I think Goody's approach is the right one. And I think it's proven true more often than not. But Davante Adams, there are certain guys that I think, if you're still super productive, it's not a bad thing to have a couple old salty war horses that still perform, have perspective, and can help showcase that perspective, because Charles Woodson is another great example. Mm-hmm. Everybody listened when he spoke. And when Charles would tell you before a playoff run, or you know, if we had a bad game, everybody would listen, and even if it's subliminally, the focus would crank up. And I don't know if that's what's happening. I'm not in that locker room, so I don't know. But that you need some of those. It's almost like an alarm clock of, you know what, man, we just need to get moving. It can't just stay steady the whole time.
The example I would use, and he certainly is not Charles Woodson in terms of accomplishment, but the guy that they did not re-sign that I think fits this bill is Eric Wilson. Now, it's worked out great for Eric Wilson in Minnesota. He's forced four fumbles. He started 15 games for them on defense. He has 6.5 sacks, one fewer than Rashawn Gary. But he was one of those guys. Like, he was that guy to Quay. He was that guy to Edgerrin Cooper. He was on every special teams unit. And because he has celebrated his 31st birthday in September, they did not try to re-sign him. Bisaccia, and we all have different opinions on Bisaccia, but Bisaccia loved him. I mean, this is a guy that did all those things you're talking about and set that example, who has been in the NFL since 2017. I think there's a few folks in the YouTube comments saying that's not an excuse. I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm using it as a criticism. And I'm not saying, because I agree with you, overall, I think the way Goody builds this roster is the right way to do it. I am not a... again, I make this joke all the time. If I was the GM, Jordy would still be lining up at wide receiver.
Yep.
But I get it. You can't do that. I understand that. But there are the sprinklers, as you would call them. I don't think they have enough of those, and I don't think that's something that they have done enough of.
I totally agree with you on that. And by the way, those sprinklers are usually one-year deals that aren't back-breaking contracts. If you don't want to sign a 31-year-old offensive lineman to a five-year extension and pay him a bunch of money, I get it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to add a one-year veteran wideout or a one-year veteran linebacker that, by the way, can contribute on special teams and be a great locker room guy, I'm all for it. And the Josh Jacobs thing last week really bothered me. When you kind of mentioned how that all played out, mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs is that guy. Like, if you ask me right now who you'd say, who is your leaders vocally and in that locker room, Josh Jacobs seems like he'd be that guy. And when he doesn't understand what's going on, that's troubling to me from the outside.
I will say they clearly communicated to him better this week going into Saturday. And I think he's probably going to sit on Sunday. But let me ask you this. Given his contract situation, given how Goody wants to be very cautious with aging players, they can save $8 million in cap room if they move on from Josh Jacobs. For me, the way my brain is wired, that's one step short of, do we have a quarterback controversy? But maybe I have a blind spot. I don't know if he's back next year, despite everything that he brings to the locker room. And that's the kind of thing that I'm referring to. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that Goody is, please don't misunderstand me or soundgraph me as saying that Goody's going to get rid of Josh Jacobs. But I don't think that's off the table.
I'm going to tell you this, and I haven't spot tracked him or looked at the deal. He ain't coming back on the deal that he's got. He's either going to get a new deal that will spread it out, or he's going to go look around. I think he should be back, but he's getting to that age. And by the way, Has he had a great year? I don't know. I think he's been good, but he's been banged up. You can tell he's worn. Now, a lot of that is O-line. I get all of those things. But to act as if Josh Jacobs is 100% going to be back on this roster next year, no, absolutely not.
And he's at 929 rushing yards going into the last game, which I don't think he's going to play in. Tausch, we got to get some more calls. We don't quite have full phone lines yet, so if you want to get in, we do have space for you, 844-770-30.
It feels like it was 6 weeks ago.
It does.
Old boy just got on, and he's still mad. This is where a day is really good for me. Because I just couldn't believe what I watched. And then yesterday, I just had a nice, you know, nice fun day. And today, I'm kind of like I did at the end of the postgame show. I'm kind of on to Chicago. Like, I know we're going to do a postgame show this week. I'm going to be very short. And it's good because this is a preseason game that's coming up. It is. Bishop's Charity. I think we Bishop's Charity this bad boy. See if we can get them to sponsor it. Make this a bowl game.
Very excited to
play for the Axe.
I think we should turn this into a bowl game and, you know, have some fun with it.
Well, maybe we could call it the Tito's Bowl then.
Well, that would be something. Tito's over the holidays. It's been fantastic. You just mix up. Now you have, they don't even know what's actually going on these 2 weeks, right? You don't know if you're working. You want to sit down and just mix up a Tito's and Sprite, mix up a Tito's and a tonic, or you want to go Bloody Mary, just make sure it's always Tito's in your glass. They make great drinks, and they partner and give back in a big way to the communities, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly. By the way, Jason, I'm going to try... Might have a guest appearance again later in the show that might shock you.
It won't shock me. I think I know who it is.
Okay.
And I hope that he is having an impact on you. So someday you'll get your family a dog.
He has
good.
Had an impact.
I'm glad to hear that. By the way, just to be clear, if the Bears beat the Lions, they get the number 2 seed and the Packers will go to Chicago. Yep. If the Bears lose to the Lions and the Eagles beat the Commanders, they will go to Philly, I believe.
We don't want
that. That works.
I know we put a poll up. I think I sent Jesse. And Jesse, great job getting that poll in the field early. Really preemptively well done. Boy, you look like a beaten down dog right now. Look at Jell. Put yourself back up there. Look at you. You look beaten down, a little scruff on the beard, a little pouty in the eyes. He's frustrated.
Very pouty.
Jealous.
Very pouty.
But we don't want to go to Philly. And we go to Philly, our season's done. We go to Chicago, I think we advance. That's maybe I'm delusional. That's how I feel.
I agree with you. I agree with Tausch. Put on the t-shirt. We'll get to your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Favorites, and it doesn't cost us a penny. Let's get to another call from the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. He became an offshoot of the defunct 565 Analytics. He opened a boutique that kept track of our bold predictions. It is Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good. Tausch did not fire you by extension. Is that correct?
No, he's still good. Nope.
From your volunteers.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping it was going to be one of those situations where, right, if I just kept showing up to work and acted like everything was normal, people wouldn't realize and I can keep my job. So I think we're okay right now.
I'm
a little worried
you
brought it up there, Jason.
I'm here to help.
So I think, like, emotionally from that Packer game, it's more flat than anything else. And I think the toughest part of it was, like, had Chicago, like, we played first, right? So had Chicago played and lost, essentially making this last game preseason for us, I don't think anybody really would have cared. But it's not just, like, three losses in a row, but it's the storylines with them, right? With Denver, it's obviously the Micah Parsons injury, losing your most talented player. And there's that, you know, amongst a lot of the fan base, that feeling like the season's over already. And then just kind of the flat ending to that game and interception and two downs in the fourth quarter and losing by eight. Then the next week, obviously, we lose in the most improbable of ways. And it was just like the feeling of jubilation, like, right? Like, Love goes out, Malik Willis comes in, Emmanuel Wilson's playing. Like, it just seemed like everyone was rallying around everyone, and like the stars were lining up, and like it felt like a team. And then to lose the way they did, now it's like, all right, so you got Denver with Parsons, you got Chicago, and then this just kind of felt like a little bit like rock bottom. I don't know if anybody else feels the same here, but it's like I'm almost mad I'm not more mad. Like it felt like we weren't playing for anything.
Look, I am, if I was a fan, and we will get to the clip a little bit later in the program, but Matt LaFleur did not dispute the J.J. Enagbare theorem, hypothesis, opinion, either whatever it was.
Yeah.
He didn't dispute that. Also, there was no emotional impassioned defense of Rashawn Gary either, including when Tausch's favorite beat writer, Tom Silverstein, Spoon, as we call him, followed up and asked if there was any injury or illness, to which Matt LaFleur said no. And then there was silence, and then he added, well, everybody's dealing with something at this point, body. But I cut that clip too, so Jesse will have that as well. So, I just don't...
The big clip cutter.
That's me. Not to be confused with clip. So, I don't... I agree with you, Eric. Like, that's how it felt. I would argue that there was basically one aspect of their game that was blank and awful, and that was their run defense, right? And they still... What bothered me, and this was... I mean, I want to say I called Matt LaFleur out. That's not what I did. But he agreed with me after I said it. Because his opening statement on Saturday night included that they controlled the whole game. And I said, well, wait a minute.
No blank, blank.
They didn't.
No blank, blank.
Okay. Because here's the thing. It's 27-17. And the Packers defensively get a stop. Finally. By some act of God. J.J. Enagbare throws Derrick Henry for a 5-yard loss on 2nd and 9 to set up a 3rd and 14. Yep. They end up checking it down, punting. Packers go in and score, right? I think it was the second of the two touchdown runs that Malik Willis had. It's 27-24. Ravens get the ball back, and they have a 3rd and 5 at their own 20-yard line. They are not controlling the game in that moment. The Packers have Big Mo. Get a stop on 3rd and 5, and you're getting the ball back with a chance to tie or take the lead in the third quarter. And instead, what happens? What happens? 9-yard gain for Derrick Henry on 3rd and 5. 30-yard gain the next run. Now you're starting the fourth quarter, and they've got the momentum again. They go in and score to make it 30, whatever it was. 34-24, whatever it was.
Listen, man, I want to agree with you, but I can't because you have to make that stop. Otherwise, it's just whatever. Like, you make that stop, yeah, it's
right.
3rd and 5.
To me, that was the play of the game. You're back in it if you get that stop on 3rd and 5.
Even with all that, if
And I think Rashawn Gary came off the field
for
that play, by the way.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but to act as if to act as if Baltimore didn't control that game, they picked up 9 on a 3rd and 5.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, there's always pivotal plays. I would argue getting stuffed on the fourth and one and then fumble. I still think, have you seen that video that goes around? Jesse, I'm sure you have, where the dude is a goaltender in soccer and he's getting the ball hits off his face. And then they put him in a chair, and the ball hits off his face, and they keep putting him out there in these shootouts, and he keeps making stops with the ball hitting him in the face. It's like it's a kid's video. Eleanor showed it to me. And then I watched the game on Saturday, and that snap that hits old boy in the face was exactly like that. Those two plays are what lost the game. I mean, this was a shootout. This was the anatomy. The game was an anatomy of a shootout. And we butchered two. Baltimore didn't, and that's why we lost.
We will get to more of your calls in the 10 o'clock hour, which we will be starting as if Brian Bulaga was here. I want to remind you that if you have been, I hope you never have to make the call. I tell you that all the time. And look, David Gruber does too. He hopes you don't have to make the call. But if you do suffer an injury and you do need representation, there's only one call to make, and that's to Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. The call is free. The first consultation is free. And you don't pay until they win your case. But more importantly, they are there. They have the experience of 40 years. They're the best in the business for a reason. So go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. And then make the call if you need to. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We'll get to the 10 o'clock hour. One will have more than one call from you on the Carbless Talk and Text line in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.